I've pastored for long enough to know that getting and keeping church volunteers is one of the hardest things about pastoring. So in this conversation, we're going to unpack some of the tips and tricks that we've learned to help you get, train, and keep your volunteers engaged for years to come. Let's do it. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are unpacking the ultimate guide to church volunteer engagement. Looking forward to this conversation because getting volunteers and keeping volunteers and training volunteers and all those things, man, it is such a big part of what pastoral ministry is all about. And if I'm being really honest, a huge challenge. Like, it's been hard for me. I have been through this like many times, and it's really a major part of every pastor's job. So I think it should be a good conversation for us to unpack a bit here, Ian.
Agreed. And as it's been said, volunteers are the backbone of the church and vital. And yes, I think you definitely are not alone in that. We've seen this for years. I've seen it in my ministry experience. It is a struggle to find, to keep. And it's good to dig into this.
Let me ask you a question. What was the first place that you volunteered at your church when you first came to the Lord? How did you first get involved and volunteer?
Yeah, I would say it was a very uncommon ministry, and it had a lot to do with the way that I came to faith. But I first served and volunteered in our church's prayer ministry. Hmm. So I would get together with all of these little old ladies, and I was in my early 20s at that time. And pray with them and go over all of the, we had a prayer chapel where people would actually write down prayer requests and put them in this organized box. And I would go in there and pray for all of those, like one by one. And I will tell you, as funny as that, wasn't greeting and it wasn't helping in the parking lot. I wasn't doing any of those things. But I will tell you, it was one of the most rewarding things for me. And I got so close to the Lord and obviously cultivated a very healthy prayer, walk in prayer. So
it's funny. Ian, I've known you for 16 years or something like that now. 18 years, I think, actually, now that I'm doing the math. It's been a long time since we met. I don't think I knew that. I don't think I heard that was your first volunteering role. Maybe I did from a long time ago, but I think that's really cool. Like, what a cool testimony, because I've never heard of that. Like, that someone's first thing would be praying over prayer requests and those things. Maybe it's what made you the man you are today. So that's awesome stuff. For me, it was like most people. It was set up and tear down stuff. Living in Hawaii, almost every church in Hawaii has we meet in public facilities. So even the largest churches here meet in schools and auditoriums for schools, that kind of stuff. So my first kind of volunteer role was getting there super early and setting up the school and being ready for church. And so, I remember that there was times where I was so excited to do it, but that's such a thankless job that sometimes, and again, it's not even like the heart of people. I know that they go in, do it with the best intentions and everything. It's just that it becomes really challenging to kind of keep the motivation for that. That's why we wanted to talk a little bit about this today, is just how do we help get people signed up for those kinds of things? How do we train them once they're in there? And how do we keep them from getting burned out? Because I can tell you this, as a pastor, I have that's a constant conversation, is that you'd like to think that you recruit the volunteers and they're set for life. You know, they're going to be serving in children's ministry for the next 50 years, and we won't have to worry about it anymore. But that's just not the way it is. It's a revolving door in volunteerism in churches. And if you're a pastor, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But I imagine if you're new to this, you'll fall into that same trap that I did, thinking that it's a lifelong commitment when really it's not. So, So
it can be a revolving door, like you said.
It can be. So you want to jump in, I guess, to the, some of the ideas that we had?
We're going to cover three kind of key areas for volunteer engagement, starting with how you manage church volunteers. So, Thomas, so how would you go? I know you're an executive pastor now. You're serving full on at your church. And of course, you've pastored before then and everything. And we've actually pastored together. But, you know, now with your role, I know you look at this stuff a lot more closely too, at your local church there. So what does managing church volunteers entail?
Well, so managing, I mean, I guess we broke it down into three parts, right? So
three, right. Yeah, it's the first.
So recruiting, training, and retaining is kind of the three parts of managing we're talking about. I was curious this, like, how did, the first one we'll talk about is recruiting. How did
right.
I recruit you? Do you remember that, Ian? Like, what is the...
I almost mentioned this when we, but I mentioned the prayer yeah. ministry I served in, so I didn't want to go too far. But, well, you know, when you planted a church here in the greater yep. Austin area where I'm at, and when we met at the company we both worked with, so at that time, you know, I was kind of your associate pastor, which at a brand new church plant startup with, you know, a handful of people, that means that I am the main volunteer, right? Starting. So I think it kind of naturally happened, Thomas, because you and I were both, you know, the most... We had a worship leader, and of course your wife was serving as well, pastoring with you and everything. But I think it just naturally happened where it's like, hey, can you go hang this sign up? Oh, hey, Ian, you're friendly and outgoing. You can be the greeter and the usher too. So it's it just kind of naturally happened.
But I'm just, I don't remember when I came to you and said, hey, I'd like you to, you came to church with us at the beginning and heard we were doing it. But I don't remember the first thing I asked you to do.
I think it was just when we were planning and everything, we were like, okay, well, how are we going to do this? And it was kind of like, well, okay, I guess that's you.
That's on you. I guess that brings us to like, I'm certain that the way that I did it was with a direct ask. There's many different ways that you can recruit volunteers.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, that one thing I found in ministry is that there is no better way to recruit volunteers than looking them in the eye on Sunday morning or over coffee or in the office or something like that and say, hey, I really we're praying for more people to work in our children's ministry.
Yeah.
I really feel like that's something you would be gifted at. You seem like you're good at those things. I see the way you are with kids. Would you pray about being a part of our children's ministry team or whatever ministry you're recruiting for? But I think that is always and will probably always remain the most effective way to recruit volunteers.
Yeah.
That's the biggest.
You have not because you ask not. So yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and I'm sure that's what I did with you. But at the same time, there's lots of other ways that I think are important. I'd say if I were to do four, it would be like the direct ask. I think like the announcement pitch, so in announcements, I'm always cautious with this one because I don't want our church to ever be seen as like just all they want us to do is just, serve, and, you know, kind of like it's more about what can I get out of you
than
you know, what you can bring to us than me caring about you. So I use this cautiously a lot of times. And one thing I've learned about announcements and recruiting volunteers with it, they do not work well when they're done out of desperation, but they're done well when they're out of opportunity for someone.
Yeah, so that's good. That's good.
Here's the kind of the difference. If you're recruiting for children's workers for your children's ministry, the wrong way to do it is say, hey, I just want to let you guys know about a major need we have at our church. Man, we're only down to four children's ministers and we really need more people. So could you guys kind of step it up and maybe some of you prayerfully consider coming out and being a part of our children's ministry? We're going to have to shut it down if someone doesn't step up on this.
It's almost like the same thing when asking for offerings. Oh my gosh, you know, we may have to close the doors, you know, instead making an opportunity for people to be generous.
I mean, there's a place where you can say those kinds of things, I'm sure. Like it's probably in a family business meeting or some of those kinds of things.
Right.
But on your Sunday morning announcements, I think you'll do much better if the pitch is more like, man, one of the biggest blessings is being able to pour the lives of the next generation and really seeing kids grow. I got to tell you, I was part of the children's ministry here 30 years ago, and I remember some of my children's ministry leaders. And man, you can have that kind of impact too. Would you prayerfully consider being a part of our children's ministry team? So the opportunity pitch is going to be much better for you in most cases. So, so direct ask, there's announcements. We've seen some results with ministry fairs.
That's a unique one.
Yeah, so you can't do this like every weekend or even monthly. I think once a year is kind of the max for something like this.
Yeah.
But what I mean by this is having a weekend that's kind of like the learn about ways you can get involved in serving weekend. And after service, you have little booths set up for each service opportunity. Maybe it's the setup team and ushers and tithe counters and children's ministry and youth ministry and worship team and all these different things. And people can stop by, have some conversations, express interest, talk to the leaders. And that's been a good way for people to kind of find a way to step on board with some of these ministries. So that's three. And then I'd also say the best time to do this is probably in whatever you call your membership class.
Right.
So whether you call it starting point or growth track or whatever it is at your church, class system that they use at Saddleback Church with the 101 through 401 or whatever it is. So at those, you have brand new people that are involved. They've probably had part of the conversation is around how you can get involved with our church. And so having people from your respective ministries there ready to invite people into serving is another great time to do something like that. So that's where I've seen the most success. I don't know. You have any feedback on that, Ian?
No, and not much other than, I know that for my church, the membership class, we call it Growth Track, is where it's a great opportunity to ask. Because at this point, you know, whether or not it's someone who's new to the faith or just new to the church, we cover, hey, you know, everyone's got a unique gifting. Everyone's got a unique skill set. You have individual, you have spiritual gifts, rather, that that have been given to you by God. And that's always, you know, that is encouraging to people because people, when especially when they're new to the faith, they want to find out what those gifts are. But that also helps lead them in the direction of where they're best able to serve. Also, I chuckle because it reminded me of the video I did a little while back about, like, bad church greeters. So this is also like initially when you're recruiting, finding out maybe that someone is not really cut out for certain areas of service, right? So you're identifying these things, you know, if they're not, you know, as outgoing or if they come off as unfriendly, even though they're not, may not be the best person at the door greeting visitors. And so identifying people's gifts and you know, abilities can often happen there. So I think it's good.
Yeah, good stuff.
So. Cool. Once they're recruited, well, then training is important, correct?
Yep, absolutely. You got to train volunteers because I find that this is like one of the main reasons why volunteers leave is because they feel like they are inadequately equipped to be able to actually do the job well and get the results that they want to see, you know, as a result of their serving. So, you know, so at our church, we have several ways that we do this. You know, we provide kind of an orientation. So your first, like, let's say it's something like children's ministry, you have kind of an orientation Sunday where the first time you're going to get toured around and kind of shadowing somebody, doing those kinds of things. But like, you know, really, if you're like me, it has to be something that's done hands-on and just having practice at stuff is the best way to learn. So whether you're running a soundboard or operating cameras or, you know, whatever it would be, as long as it's in some of those like low risk kind of environments. Like, so you don't want someone who's never run a soundboard before to be operating your soundboard, you know, without any training on the first Sunday. So after they shadow for a while, having someone shadow them and watch them and kind of make sure they're doing it and being there to answer questions, doing that kind of stuff. I think this is the best way to do it within churches is this really kind of hands-on training. But I think at the same time, it is a helpful thing to have like written SOPs or playbooks or those kinds of things, having those things written out. And kind of a, something we found is you can really leverage a lot of things like in ChatGPT, that kind of stuff to help you create some of those playbooks. So if you want to maybe write out a playbook on, you know, the exact process for running a children's ministry, you know, being a teacher in a classroom for children's ministry. So, you know, everything from like, hey, how much, where do we get the snacks? How much snacks do we give to kids? And how do we do the seating time at that part? And how do we do cleanup? And what is the exact setup process? You can kind of usually give ChatGPT a little bit of like an outline of where you want it to go and then have it fill in the blanks for you and make it more of a formal language and use it to kind of create some of these SOPs and things there. So that's been good. And then just at, involving church leaders in it also, like just having four-year training sessions, not just having people that are currently doing the job, but it's really powerful. Like if you're doing a training for children's ministry leaders, I keep using that as an example, having your lead pastor there, just being part of that training, giving them some of his vision for where this, what this ministry accomplishes and why it matters so much.
And that makes it more inspiring and exciting.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess I have less to say about this, but I just want you to emphasize for everybody, like this is where burnout happens. It's not like in the, like if you're not training people, and especially with top level volunteers or really high capacity leaders in your church, if you're not giving them adequate training and things like that and having even expectations of them, I think this is where things start to burn out. And this is one thing I've found is that the more sometimes we feel like, oh, I don't want to ask them to do another training. It's so burdensome asking them to give more of their time. They already give so much.
Right.
But in reality, it's something that like high capacity leaders want. They want to be held to higher standards. They want to, like, there's nothing that bothers a high capacity leader more than everybody else on the team not knowing what they're doing, showing up late, kind of mailing it in. And this is the surest way to lead to burnout in those things. And training is the way you avoid that.
No, that's really good. That's good. And that's actually a good segue when you're talking about avoiding burnout by training is we want to retain volunteers. And that's obviously a big deal. I think this is where, you know, a lot of turnover, so to speak, happens because of burnout and because of also some of these things we're about to tackle here, right? So
So I think that nothing can fix untrained volunteers. So like once you have those things in order, people will still burn out. That still does happen. And so there are things you can do. And none of these are like silver bullets that like, you know, no one will ever leave serving if you do this.
Right.
But we have just experienced that like just appreciating volunteers in general is something that is so important. So one thing we try to do is on a weekly basis, we always, on Sunday morning, we always are thanking at least one set of volunteers. And it's like, it could be anybody. Like you're doing the tithes and offerings portion of your sermon or your announcements or something. And then what if you just mentioned, hey, you know, we have 8 people that faithfully every week get in here and spend 2 hours counting, organizing, processing, and managing all of our tithes and offerings. It's such a thankless job. And so just kind of celebrating people and, you know, every single role in your church should be like called out and celebrated on a regular basis. And so we make it our mission to do that for one every single weekend. Maybe it's, you know, some of them are obvious from youth workers to children's ministry to worship team, those kinds of things. But there's so many thankless jobs in churches. The guy that empties out the trash cans or, you know, cleans up bathrooms before services. Celebrate these people. And just that small thing, it's something that they may remember for years, the time that they got a round of applause because they've been cleaning toilets after services for 4 years. It's such a huge impact it can have on people. So
That's it. It's easy to forget and not forget those people, but just to not call attention to what they're doing. So, and other than thanking them during services, I know we talked about some other ways too. Thank you cards was one of those, right?
Thank you cards. Yeah. That's something that we're really, I believe in it. And I think, you know, if you have a team around you at your church that can help you to execute that from, you know, just getting cards ready, stamped and addressed, it doesn't take you as a pastor more than a few seconds to, you know, send out a quick thank you. But my goodness, like if someone gets an unexpected thank you card, for, hey, you know, I know that you've been, you know, cleaning bathrooms at our church for 3 years. I just wanted to take a second to thank you so much. It's something that so few people probably notice, but I want you to know that I notice it and I really appreciate you and the Lord sees it too. You know, those kinds of things, it really makes a big impact on people. So that's huge. One thing we've also done is like a servants appreciation dinner or any kind of a celebration. It doesn't have to be a dinner. It could be a lunch or a breakfast. But once a year, we have a giant servant appreciation celebration where we pull out all the stops. Like, so we have almost like The Office. We have like Dundee Awards. We have those for like servants of the year for different categories, people that faithfully serve in certain areas. We spend, I mean, we have like 110 or 20 people that come to our servant appreciation dinner.
Yeah.
And so we spend thousands of dollars on food and, you know, different trophies and prizes and thank you gifts and those kinds of things. So we really try to make it a big deal. We did it one year at a moderately priced restaurant, and that worked really well. And we've done it at, you know, at our actual church facility, and we've just had to dress it up and make it really nice at the same time. Yeah. So this has been huge. If you haven't tried that, I highly recommend it. I think it's been a huge thing for our church. And then I think just last but not least, I think just having regular conversations and check-ins with your volunteers too.
Yeah.
I think that's been huge too. Just a call from a leader in their church, and maybe not even their direct leader. Like, so me as the executive pastor, I have people that work on my team that a pastor that oversees our children's director. And so, you know, if you, you know, kind of count things on an org chart, it's a few chunks below, but it would have a huge impact if like one of our pastors would reach out to one of our children's ministry teachers and just say, hey, I just wanted to thank you so much. How are things going in that area? Are you feeling, is there anything you would do differently, or maybe kind of get some feedback from them and make sure they feel heard? I think those kinds of things go a long way too. So that's just some of the stuff that I've picked up. I don't know. You have any thoughts on that, Ian?
Well, I think that, this last one's huge because, again, that is where you also can find out if they are burned out, if they're frustrated, like you said. If you don't ask them, you might have someone just stewing and being upset about something that they don't think is going well in that area of service. And so, for them to be able to at least get that out in the open. And also it helps pastors and church leadership to know what is happening on the ground. You know, you see the greeters, you see this, but what are they really experiencing? People that help with children's check-in or whatever. I mean, everyone they that are doing the acts of service, they it's kind of like they know better, right? They're the ones doing it. So there you go. So
yeah, exactly right. So good stuff. Well, I hope it's been helpful to everybody. This is something just that I've gleaned. Have a little bit of experience in kind of recruiting volunteers and leading staffs that also recruit volunteers. And so hopefully it's been helpful. If it has, it would mean a lot to us if you would hit the subscribe button down below. I'd love to hear some kind of community tips or things that are working for you on how you recruit, train, and kind of keep volunteers engaged. I think we can all glean from one another. So if you have some ideas or things we didn't cover, drop a note down in the comments down below. We'd love to do that. If you have any questions for us, we try to respond to every single comment. And a lot of times these comments wind up becoming new podcast episodes. So if you have kind of a question that's a bigger in scope one, we'd love to kind of continue that conversation. Thanks guys for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See you.